nothing you see on social media is the complete truth.
Real?
Please. Even the bad things, it's not the complete truth. I think good example is Yeah.
Like, have you noticed that every time an influencer starts now going into vlogs, they have a man?
She ain't lying. Yeah, a lot of the vloggers, man, are luxury vloggers.
Yes, yes.
Out of nowhere, shorty. How did you get that Goyard bag? They probably don't even know it's Goyard. They're just glad a nigga gave it to her. She just liked the label. It's not a coincidence. And of course you want to vlog this lifestyle because you know how temporary it is, shorty. I think also what I've regretted, because I think for people who want to be more prominent on social media or be, I think, intentional about their social media, what I've regretted is showing my personal life on social media. You being on social media, and I don't like when people play a victim to being ripped to shreds on social media. By virtue of having a social media account, you open yourself up to scrutiny by the public.
And I think it's not fair.
Okay.
You know, to categorize us as loud, argumentative, because like it's very personality based, and I feel like it's easier for people to categorize as a black woman as that, so that when we argue for our rights and we fight for ourselves, it's like, oh, it's just another black woman being argumentative, just another black woman being loud, while it comes from a place of frustration. Hello, hello, hi to Girl Mommy Dearest.
Hi, hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I got a bone to pick with the whole internet.
No.
I came with the whole interwebs.
I came with fighting hands, you know, today.
Did you really?
Yeah, I came with the fighting spirit.
Yeah, no, last week's episode caused a stir and a half.
We were cooked.
We were oven baked. Rightfully so, actually.
No.
Go ahead, girl.
Okay. In a sense, I do feel like our delivery was not the sweetest. And I feel like some things y'all, like, people... Okay, I'm going to just three things. Firstly, someone was talking about our delivery, that, hey, you must say things with grace, da-ra-ra-ra. And I honestly believe that when you say something people don't want to hear, it doesn't matter how you put it, they're going to always find something to cry about. So, like, for instance, the Bible, Jesus calls us fools. You don't find us crying and saying, oh, my God, his delivery. Nah, you are a fool. You know? like, it's the truth, you know? So it's a thing of, like... yes, I do feel like there could have been like a nicer way for us to say it. It's just that it's very difficult for me to be nice when it's truth, you know? I don't know how to sugarcoat the truth. My friends know that about me. Like, I genuinely don't know how to. And someone said I must apologize. Someone on the comments said, apologize.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, apologize, just apologize, just apologize. Apologize for an opinion. That's crazy. Like, an opinion.
It is an opinion.
An opinion. Like, I'm not going to apologize for an opinion I have. We are allowed to have different opinions and to not agree on everything. We are not always going to say things you guys agree with. It doesn't mean you guys are wrong. It does not mean we are wrong. It's an opinion at the end of the day. And I didn't say that. I literally said 0.01% is our fault, you know? So you can't really, like, dice me and slice me for that. Like, we did say in the episode that it's a lengthy topic.
Yeah.
And if you guys want us to go in on about it, like, it would need, like, its own episode because there's so many other factors that, like, we can't go into in a 30-minute segment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, my second thing I wanted to address.
Okay.
And then what was my last thing that I wanted to address? What? Oh, yes. There was a part where I said marks don't matter in varsity. If I said that, that's not exactly what I meant. What I meant was marks only don't matter in varsity.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's other factors that they do take into consideration depending on your degree. If your degree is very saturated and a lot of people are doing it, like law, there are only so many law firms in the country. So they have to sift you out using your marks. You have like 10,000 people applying to do... their training at APSA, and they only take 10 every year. Meaning, how are they sifting them first? They marks, and then after they sift you with their marks, then comes into what else did you do? because a lot of people get a lot of high marks. So they need to find other factors to sift you with before they hire you. So marks aren't the only thing that matter. That's what I was, yeah, those are my three things.
You came prepared.
Yeah.
You came prepared to address them. I think, again, it's a very lengthy topic. And if anything, on my end, the reason why I just let you do majority of the talking is because this is one of the topics that I'm not so knowledgeable about. So I took a step back. I very much shut up when I don't know much about what I'm talking about. However, in hindsight, I realized that I do know a lot about what we're talking about. Wait a minute, I studied political science.
Kuluma girl.
My goodness. Kuluma girl. I have a whole degree. So, in hindsight, I think I should have leveraged my knowledge,
yes,
according to, yes, what I studied and the role of the government in improving society, yes, and, yes, the economy, yes, yes, and the livelihoods of the people. I should have gone that route. Yes. I think maybe in my mind I was looking at it from a historical point of view, mm-hmm, also kind of a philosophical point of view, when I think the anger, our audience's dissatisfaction with our take on unemployment was because they were expecting a more political
point of view. Yes.
And I think I neglected to express that last week.
Oh yeah, someone did say that we aren't educated to speak on it and we don't have the capacity.
That's the comment that made me
realize. And I was like, no, whoa. Actually, we are the people to talk about it because we are the unemployed youth, you know?
Unemployed graduates.
Yeah, we are unemployed. We hold degrees and we don't have jobs.
Yeah.
So this was a topic that genuinely resonated with us. Mm-hmm. And I didn't reply to a comment saying that I took the topic on the point because there's so many facets of it. There's the political, historical, so many facets of this topic. And I took the facet of what you as an individual can try to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, that was the facet I took. Yeah. It doesn't mean
so
that
you took more of a, I'm gonna say social.
Yeah, like how you as a person, yeah, in this type of society, yeah, can go about it. That's, yeah, the facet I took.
As
the
political facet, yeah.
Yeah, there's a political facet. We can add it. We can make maybe come back to this topic episode 30.
Yeah.
And then Kaya can fill us in on the political facets of
I
it.
I can't believe I didn't look at it that way.
You, girl, there's always time to come back. Our topics are so lengthy.
Yeah, I just hate. Also, I think the work that we do, I automatically put my studies in the back burner, when I really should bring them to the forefront, because a lot of what we discuss is within what I've studied.
Real.
Right? So we will revisit the conversation to you who, real, are dissatisfied that it wasn't, if we hadn't taken a political route.
Yes.
So we will, and I'll be happy to be vocal about that because I sat in a lecture hall, yeah, for 3 years in a row,
in
writing papers about political reform and policy creation. I even created my own policies at some point. So,
I tell you guys, don't undermine ours because we're young.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean just because we're young, we don't know what we're talking about.
But I think there is room for
growth
and a little bit more knowledge, because I disagree with you when you say we're unemployed. I mean, we're under Rampeni Media. We send invoices,
yeah,
every 25th. So we qualify as the working class. So we don't really know the actual struggle of being unemployed for years.
Yeah, for like without. But to be fair, my mom was unemployed the whole of this year, and I was very much involved in that. Like,
ooh,
the struggle.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
Since you've shared that your mom's been unemployed the whole year, would you say to her what you said in the last episode?
To my mom?
Yeah.
No, because she's actually doing something.
Okay.
She was unemployed the whole year, but she was not sitting on her ass the whole year.
Okay.
You know, she was trying to figure out ways, trying to figure out different things. Like, she's now recently got a form of employment.
Okay.
But, like, she's looking for room to grow herself. She's actually wanting to enroll in university next year.
Okay,
you know,
wonderful.
To further her studies, because she sees the importance of education, you know. So I wouldn't give that advice to my mom because she already knows it.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who spent her whole life thinking she was secure in a job without holding a qualification, and then now she saw that there's actually importance in educating and uplifting and upskilling yourself.
Okay.
And that's where I was coming from.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't give her, because she and when I gave this advice, it came from seeing that as well.
Yeah.
So like
and
just
just need to clarify that it did come from a position of love.
Yeah, it came from love. Like, honestly, it came from a big place of love. I even when I was saying, like, Jesus has called us fools, it came from a place of love, yeah. You know? And sometimes, like, to love someone is not to coddle them. You will get a lot of people who will try and lift your spirits and motivate you. Motivational speakers are out there in abundance, you know? Mm. But then very few people are there to tell you the truth. And I want to be one of those people.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. One more thing regarding last week's episode. I will not fold on Matt's lid, okay?
Thanks. Same. Done. Oh, hell no. Hell no. I will not fold. I went on
I
a rant.
I don't care what you say.
I went on a rant on Instagram, yeah. And I was like, you cannot go home to an empty fridge with no electricity and tell me you're going to go and do Matt's lid because of passion.
Not even.
Child of God.
I think a lot of the arguments in the comment section were that. Well, a lot of people are not mathematically inclined, or they don't have the mathematical ability, and so that's why they did maths lit. And those are the people. Look, I can make exceptions for people who did maths lit and are not mathematically inclined. If the career path that you're choosing has nothing to do with maths, right? If you're not going to varsity, forget about maths. Don't worry. Don't worry.
It's not that deep.
But if you're planning to go to varsity and you're sitting there with the maths lit, change it. And change it now.
Real.
Thanks. I'm not folding.
Real. And also, like, with, like, meth, like, if you have a medical condition that inhibits you from learning, I give you leeway. But if you don't have a medical condition that inhibits you from learning.
The only scapegoat is a medical
condition. Yes, it's a medical condition. You must be diagnosed with the doctor that you have dyslexia, that you have the inability to read, that you have the inability. Like, honestly.
You're such an extremist. It's crazy.
The only reason. Medical condition. You know? So come to me with a medical diagnosis that when now you cannot comprehend maths, and then we'll discuss it. If you need maths lessons, I will start them for you, my child.
We can tell who's going to be the strict mom between the two of us.
No, but you know what's so crazy? I'll bring my reports if you guys want to see. In grade 10, I literally passed maths with 40%.
Mm-hmm.
In grade 11, I passed it with 75%.
Mm-hmm.
It was not that I was not working hard in grade 10. I was working hard and I was like, oh my God, it's so hard. I can't understand it. But my study approach was completely incorrect. Mm-hmm. And once I took my studying into my own hands and tried to figure out a study approach that worked for me, my maths marks increased drastically.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it has to be a medical condition. Yeah.
Okay.
Life update. That's it for the life updates.
That's not a life update.
Really, it isn't.
Like, no, that was actually one of the first, I think it is the first time that we've ever addressed a previous episode in this current episode. Just because I don't think we've ever caught as much smoke as we did on that episode.
No, shame. People were dragging me for days.
So
I was dragged to film.
That was kind of necessary. We're so used to getting dragged on short form.
Yes. YouTube? Crazy. But I know you guys came from a place of love as well. I know a lot of you guys came from a place of, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She doesn't, like, I understand that, you know. But I feel like the approach was like, okay, why am I saying nice approach? Because I didn't give y'all a nice approach. I deserved it. I deserve to be
cooked. Why is your phone not on silent? 17.
My mom calling me. My mother.
Mom alert. Actually, that's in light of our life update. Go ahead.
Yes. So I'm trying to surprise my mom, but as you can see, she's unsurprisable. She's calling me, so I feel like somebody spilled the beans. So, Shay, my mom has had a very difficult year this year with unemployment and a lot, you know. So it was her birthday last week on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Oh, what the heck? Our parents share birthdays. My dad is on the 18th.
Oh, that's crazy. So it was her birthday last week and I didn't get to do anything for her last week, you know, because I just didn't have the means last week. So now I got the means, you know. So now I'm planning to surprise her, you know. So I told my siblings, I think that's how I feel like my sister spilled the beans. Because I told my sister what I was planning to do and I told her, bath your little brother, right? And then change your outfit and get dressed. And say, no, you're getting dressed to take pictures. And then when it's like the last minute, it's like the last hour, then I'll call her, tell her to go bath. And then I'll tell her about the dinner. But she doesn't know that at the dinner, there's like a cake waiting for her and balloons waiting for her. She has no idea that that's what is waiting for her at the dinner.
That's so lovely. That's so thoughtful. And that's like so, let me say, feminine? No. It's very girly. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like,
we got a ghost now.
Like, what?
Oh, we got a ghost.
Sorry to just, like, to sway away from the comments from the life update, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But what if like you just, like slow? Like what if she's just slow? You can't do mass lit, bro. Like
that's what I said. If it's a medical condition.
Not even medical.
Just like I just couldn't do maths. Like I tried at grade 9 and I failed, and I was like, I'm not doing this.
Okay, I'm not compromising. In grade 9, did you know what you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah.
Does anyone ever know what to do with the lives in grade 9?
That's real.
No, actually.
I think it depends like where your place of like where you slow as in like you tried to do the work, you tried to put in the work but still weren't getting results.
So like first term 1 I got like a decent 70, right?
Okay,
for maths,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Term 2, I got 20, bro.
Just
from term 2 going up, I was bad. I was like, I'm not doing this.
What was
right?
The difference between term 1 and term 2?
Yeah. Term 2 is hard. Term 2, June exams is not playing at my school. I don't know about other schools, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized I can't do this. Right?
But then I think it's like
I think you gave up too soon.
Yeah, you gave up too soon. It was a mindset thing.
Bro.
Because at least you passed term 1. I failed. Throughout, like I failed term 1, term 2, term, like it would get worse, like it would get so worse, it was so bad. And then when I finally like sat down and like tried to figure out like what is it I was struggling with, is because like in class I'm able to understand what's going on, but when I get to the exam paper, all of a sudden my marks come back 20% or I black out and I actually don't even understand how to even start solving this problem.
Yeah.
And then when I took past papers, I actually figured out there's a pattern to maths. Maths is actually not anything new. The paper they wrote in 2006 is the same paper you're writing. It's so crazy. Like, your question one, since I left, the question one of algebra was the same throughout. It was the same question one. They just changed the letters. That's all they did. So what did I do? I crammed the formula. I figured out, I hacked the formula. And I started doing the pattern and I followed the pattern. And once I did that, I actually started to understand what was happening in the pattern. And that's how I rose from
the grave.
I think
that the fact that you were able to do it once is proof of your capacity to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, nigga, you know, I'm smart. But like,
exactly.
But,
you're a smart nigga.
But the thing is, bro, like, I didn't want to be like average because like most of the people that were doing maths,
yeah,
didn't really score high marks.
Yeah.
They were sitting at the 50s and the 40s and the whatever, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And I just didn't want to settle for that. And I didn't really have plans on doing anything that had to do with maths after. Because
yeah,
I knew
exactly.
That I was going to be
that's what I was asking you about
in
your
media.
Plans.
I mean, I didn't know at the time, but
yeah.
I just knew that I'm not going to do engineering or whatever.
Or whatever. Yeah.
But the reason why I brought this up is because I understand their sentiments in the comment section. It's like,
yes.
Yo, some people just feel like they don't have the capacity to do maths. It's
yes.
Just like a... You know that you're not gonna do it. I don't know how to explain it. It's not like you're looking down on yourself or you feel like you're
yeah.
not good enough or you're not smart enough.
Yeah.
But you just feel like you're not capable of it. And then, you know what I mean?
I think high school is the perfect time to test your capabilities to the max because there's very little to lose.
Real.
Very little to lose.
Real.
Repeating grade 9, who cares? Repeat grade 9. Yes. I was my sister last year she was doing grade 11 and she did. Dismal. And I said to her, you are repeating grade 11 because one, there is no clock here. There's no clock that's ticking. You're not
that's
running
true.
Out of time. So I think she didn't end up repeating grade 11 because, you know, she's a scammer. But
no, I also told my sister to repeat
yeah.
her grade.
But I think, like I said, that's the best time to test your capacity
yes.
to its limits. You must really be absolutely sure that I can't do the subject. Absolutely. Don't, after like 2 terms, be like,
I
and this
can't.
Is grade 9. This
yeah,
is grade 9.
Grade 9. You didn't even give it a chance.
No,
you really didn't give
you
it.
You really didn't, you know, put your all into it. If mid grade 11 you realize, then we'll give
yeah.
you. Because for a year and a half, you actually try to put some work into it, you know? Not
then,
to, also, I think, we're staring away from life update again. But along this topic, right? I think that whole mindset of maths is not for me, I can change it, what is encouraged by that 30% pass mark.
Yes.
The fact that our education system made 30% a flipping pass mark allows people to get away with the bare minimum. You are not, you know, your mind is not challenged, you are not tested to your limits, your academic limits. You are encouraged to
30% is a joke.
No, 30% gets you nowhere. 30% of anything. 30% of a salary gets you nowhere. 30% of, bro.
No, I. You know that. You know, guys. I understand why the current Minister of Education wants to remove that pass rate and maths lit in itself. It's because the reason why they introduced maths lit and that pass rate was to get people out of high school. So they tried, and that was literally the point. We're just trying to get people out of the system, the education system, and we're trying to get them out of high school. But they got you out of high school to where? You're sitting at home with a degree with a matric certificate, but it's a diploma. So you now have to go to colleges. You now have to go up. You now have to do all that. And their goal literally was just to get you out of the system.
Yeah.
And it didn't benefit you in any way. You thought it did because now you are passing every year.
Yeah.
But now you're sitting at home. You're talking about your capacities and all that. Well, really, you are not fully tested to the limit because they forced you out of the door.
Yeah.
You know, they forced you. And sadly, the communities and the environments in which we're raised in, they don't encourage education. Mm. You know, we want fast life, want to hustle. We want money now, you know, type of thing. So you really aren't willing to sit and actually try, you know. So that thing, that 30% pass rate and maths lit was actually there to incapacitate you. You know, it's not there to help you.
I completely agree. And we don't want to hear about the exceptions to the rules. Oh, my friend, she did math lit. And now she's a head attorney. That's the exception. Tell me about the rest of your friend's family. Let's hear that.
Ah, right. Real. And I did say you can't use 10% of the people who managed to get out for 100% populace. What about the 90% who you told that lie? Who are now sitting at home
doing Forex. Sorry. life updates. Life updates. I'm very happy.
I see it.
Very happy. I'm very content with life. I think life is moving in a favorable direction. Very fast, though. A lot of massive changes are coming my way, especially, let me say, in my personal life, not career-wise. Career-wise, you know, you'll see in the next few episodes.
Praise God. Don't digest it.
But in my personal life, a lot of massive changes. And let me not say that. But I will no longer be... all you need to know is that I will no longer be having electricity and water problems.
Real! Real!
I'll no longer be coming in and saying, oh, there's no water, sorry, I'm late. So, yes, I'm very excited about that. Also, my social media detox is going really great.
Yes.
And for the first time, I think the day before yesterday was the first time that I was actually on my phone the whole day. And at the end of the day, I felt so depressed. Oh, my goodness. I felt so depressed. I felt like my life is not moving. I'm stuck. Hey, I'm not creative enough. All of these intrusive thoughts started, you know, flooding my mind based off of just having been on social media the whole day, scrolling through people's profiles and all of these things.
And seeing what they do.
And it consumed me to the point where I was like, oh, my goodness. I had been living with this consumption for months and months, not having realized it because I was using social media in the name of work and it's fun and being, you know, interconnected or whatever. But I realized, and this is part of our girl chat topic, that I realized social media really does affect your mental health in a bad way more than in a good way now, especially in 2024, where it's hyper reels, it's money oriented, it's lifestyle oriented, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's nyash. Also, again, that leads to like our main topic about the black woman stereotype and social media. I'm so excited. But yeah, please, if you guys get the chance, I know some people's lives don't allow, but if you do get the chance, detox from social media.
Yeah, that's
goodness
real.
Gracious. So real. That has really helped my mental health. Also, not to present like a utopic sense of self and being and life. Let's go down a rabbit hole. Body dysmorphia has me by the ball.
Ooh! Ooh!
Boy,
child
even
God.
Though I don't have. Well, metaphorically I have. But like physically I know. But like it has me chokehold by the balls. By the nape of my neck, by my hairline, everything. I can't believe it. I can't. The dissatisfaction I feel with my body is so it's heavy, bro. Because in the mirror, I see one thing, and I'm like,
okay.
Then as soon as somebody takes a candid picture of
me, oh my god, that is so real. That is so. I was literally saying this with my friend yesterday when we walked, like literally we're going to Campus Square, right? And then one of those guys that took a picture and I was like, no, I don't want to see it because I probably look so fat.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, my friend was like, yo, bro, like, that's such a real thing. Because, like, I look at myself in the mirror today and I'm like, okay, I'm actually fine with how I look. And then give me a few hours. Give me a few hours. And already, I'm like, what the... Like, you start to nitpick every little thing.
Every single. You
are so unhappy. Like, I haven't loved my... Like, to the point where, like, I'm just like, it's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. It's horrific. God. I hate how I look. I genuinely do hate how I look. Y'all, and y'all don't help there in the comments. Oh, my God, she's pregnant. Yo. She's fat. She's... Oh, my God, I know I'm fat. I know it. I know it.
Okay, you're not fat.
I feel it.
Okay, say that. I feel fat.
I feel it. And you're unhealthy.
But you're not fat.
Like, the way they pointed out, like, I know.
If you know what real fat is, you will feel very scared. Should I not? No. But my 600-pound life. Actually, no. I refuse. I think we should stop normalizing my 600-pound life. And say, oh, we sympathize with you. How did you get to 600 pounds? But anyway.
No, that's it's actually a health thing, Shame. It's like a big thing that, like, you need to take care of your health. You can't let yourself get there. You see, I'm very, like, dissatisfied with how I look now because it's also impacting my health. I was telling y'all I'm 30% obese. Did I not say?
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, so I need to, like, work. Yeah, I need to work on myself. But anyways.
That was such a... Should I say a feminine rant?
Yeah, it was.
Like, the men will never get that. Like, so you can see in the background because they're like,
oh my God, she's fat. Wait.
They can't believe it. Yeah. And the thing is, when I was younger, I never understood women's fuss about their weight. Until
I got access to a phone and I got access to people. Like,
you realize that the weight is actually a massive thing for women, man. Especially because I think... the first few episodes of our podcast, we spoke about social currency. Mm. Men's social currency, women's social currency, and women's social currency being their physical appearance. And so a lot of emphasis is put on said physical appearance. And unfortunately, that has, you know, it's affected our personal, you know, view.
How we see ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see myself as very beautiful right now. Same. I feel like I'm decent. Like, I feel Same. Like I can get by, you know?
Same.
Yeah, but to be a beautiful, that's a different word.
Same.
Oh, and it doesn't help to be in this industry, y'all. Like, everybody's so tiny in this industry, and I'm that one big size, medium to large.
You're beautiful.
Ghost. We love our ghost. We love our ghost.
Thank you so much.
You should do that more often, actually.
Nah, shame, nah.
I love that.
It's been so bad. Like, to the point where I feel like I can't even work with, like, fashion houses, like Cotton On and stuff. Like, they'll never choose a girl who's my size.
Really?
Because the typical people that they go for is, like, it's either, oh, yes, I feel like I'm such a bad size. Because I'm not, like, a plus-size queen who's, like, advocacy is, like, oh, plus-size women, da-da-da-da. So they'll go for those girlies, like, the plus-size queens and everything like that. Or they'll go for the extremely tiny girls who, like, now, you know, like, oh, Jessica, you know, the small, nice build, nice bodies, da-da-da. And then there's no me's. I don't see myself as representation in that industry.
I get it.
So it's very difficult. It's like, oh, it's either I go there or I go there. Because when I'm here, no brand is going to work with me.
That's interesting. I think we should have an episode about that, actually, talking about beauty and what it is to us and how we redefine our own beauty and how we move away from body dysmorphia and how we, you know, decenter that the central beauty standard. Or, like, let me say... the pop culture's beauty standard and all of that. I think that would be a really good episode, especially because we relate heavily.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have a third person who overcame what we're going through.
So yeah, so if you're an overcomer, you overcame, or you know someone who overcame, comment them down below.
Also, I want to be very clear about my 600-pound chat, because I'm going to Candace Owens this one. I'm not joking with this one. Because you know what the best example is? I'm going to say it, because... So I just is...
We'll have a topic on it.
Okay. But I think, again, I'm going to Candace Owens it. There's no excuse for being 600 pounds. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. You need to... No, it's not that there's no
excuse.
600
pounds is how many kgs?
No. Listen, it's not that there's no excuse, but you shouldn't be comfortable being 600 pounds. There's no beauty, there's no glamorizing.
Yes, thank you. Glamorizing. Yes. That's the word that I was looking for.
It's not that there's no excuse, because depression is real. A lot of mental health issues are very real, you know, that can lead you to being there.
That can lead you to being 600 pounds.
Yes. Other people go have anorexia that make them toothpicks, you know?
It's a different... Let's not glamorize weight gain, please.
Not, yeah, it's not... Yeah.
To the point where you can't fit through the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the glamorizing of it is what's wrong, you know? Yeah.
Even televising it and making it some sort of entertainment, it's not funny. It's not funny to laugh at 600 pounds. Get some help.
That's why they're there on the show. But anyways.
Girl chat.
Girl chat. Let's go into our girl chat. So, I think we'll keep it cute and short.
Actually, because we've been on the rant. So our girl chat topic is centered around social media.
Yes.
And the effects of social media in general, right? She said, navigating social media, what we have learned from experience and how it can be a tool, what not to post and what to post. I think the first thing that came to mind when we were going to talk about social media is how, and I went on the No Chill podcast talking about this, actually, how nothing you see on social media is the complete truth.
Real?
Please. Even the bad things, it's not the complete truth. I think... good example is Kaya, come on, man, lock in, because I'm about to make a bad example.
Wait, do I know this example?
Yeah, we were talking about it off cam.
That's a good example.
It's not the complete truth, and I think social media has fostered such an environment of deception where. Somebody said, actually, women fake that they're happy on social media and men fake that they have money on social media. And then when they both meet, they fake their happiness. So that's very true.
There's a lot that's not real. Even like your favorite like YouTubers and influencers, the ones that you aspire and look up to, like they'll post like at apartments, at like, oh, house tour, apartment tour. Oh, my God, look at me. Oh, my God, fashion, lifestyle, da-ra-ra-ra. Most of it, for most people, that's not their real lives, y'all.
Just when we escaped last week's cooking.
No, but it's the truth. For most people, it's not their real lives. Like, that lifestyle is funded, you know?
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed that every time an influencer starts now going into vlogs, they have a man?
She ain't lying. Because a lot of the vloggers, man, are luxury vloggers.
Yes. Yes.
Out of nowhere, shorty. How did you get that Goyard bag? They probably don't even know it's Goyard. They're just glad a nigga gave it to her. She just liked the label. Because it looks...
Yeah, so like...
It's not a coincidence. And of course you want to vlog this lifestyle because you know how temporary it is, shorty. You need the memories. You need that digital footprint because you know if that man exits your life, it's peliling ama Chanel.
Kuchile.
Peliling a penthouse view. Peliling jenge weave yase san hair, san HD. Okay, social media. Yes. Don't believe what you see on social media. And I think also a lot of people use social media as a digital diary, which I will caution against. It's nice to use the platform as a place to express yourself and your creativity. Do that. I think the best approach to social media is marketing of the self. Yes. I think you look at it that way. Because if you look at it that way, you're less likely to make some detrimental mistakes. If you look at your social media accounts as a way to market who you are, not even if you're not a brand.
No.
But as a person. Because now when you meet somebody, it's common to go straight to their social media and see what they're up to and see what they like and see who they follow. That is sort of a hyper reel or sort of, let me say, a trailer
of who they are.
And so present yourself as you want to be, you know. What is it? Present yourself as you want to be
received. I was actually about to go into that because I attended a conference. I've attended a lot of conferences in my days. I attended a conference and they were basically talking about how the days of resumes and CVs are over.
Okay.
You know, now your CV is your social media, how you package yourself. Like, you have platforms like LinkedIn. LinkedIn is also social media. Be active on LinkedIn, children. Yeah. LinkedIn, you have your Instagram, you have your YouTube, whatever. You know, those now have become your resume. You know, they've come to show, that's where you can put everything you want to put there, all the things you've done, you put them there, you know, type of thing, you know. So it doesn't help if you have a social media account and it's private, because you are stopped. Like sometimes, like firms, like all of you here, you are Lily 6, all of you have 70%. That's all your marks, you know? All of you have, like, done, like, the two book things to do, you know? Like, the yeah. you have your perfect, cute little CV with everything that you can put in that thing. Yeah. But what makes you, like, firms want to hire people that match what, like, they want to hire someone that will fit into their firm. Mm-hmm. And how they see whether you fit in or not is who you are. Mm-hmm. And the best way to see who you are is your social media, yeah. what you do, what you like doing, all those things, you know. So yeah. you need to present yourself in a way, if you want to be in corporate, that you want your employers to see you, because yeah. they will definitely check your social yeah. media.
Also, there are people who, thank you for providing a corporate perspective, or a perspective of somebody who wants to go into corporate.
Yeah,
if you want to go ham, please make that thing private. Even if you make your social media private, there are chances that that's going to get out eventually. Because not everybody on your Finsta cares for you. Not everybody on your Finsta has your best interest at heart. The content on your Finsta, if you make it big enough, or not even if you make it big enough, you piss the wrong person off, your Finsta content is going live.
Yeah.
Okay? So social media is no longer a safe space. Please don't be deceived anymore. Great. Yeah. If you want a community of people who want to, or if you want to create content for a community of people, do that on WhatsApp and privately share that story. Because Instagram, Facebook, TikTok are no longer platforms for unhinged self-expression. It's done. Yes. Because, and I saw it with that trend, me when I wasn't a drunkard versus me, oh, me with an alcohol problem versus me, oh, me without an alcohol problem versus me with an alcohol problem. That trended. And it was funny. It was hilarious. Until we also saw the repercussions of people getting laid off from mm-hmm. their jobs because they were having fun on TikTok. Yep. It was like, yo, I got fired because I did this trend. It's no longer a place for you yeah. to be going crazy. Yeah. Unless you have no intentions of, you know,
Getting a normal job.
Yeah, normal job.
Living a normal life. Yeah, even like venting on social media. Because I know a person who was, basically, they had a training contract at a firm, and then they were dressed inappropriately. Guys, there is such a thing as dressing inappropriately. We've already discussed yeah. this. We've been dragged for this already. she went to work, you know, like looking, like, you know, guys, this corporate lifestyle thing that's trending, like, oh corporate girly thingy. Yeah. So, no, don't wear everything they're showing you. So this girl, corporate girly day in my life, she's trying to influence. I get it now, she's got a corporate job. She's trying to influence. She's doing, you know, those cute chain two pieces, crop top.
To span,
baba. Skirt and gala. Just because it's plaid and it's like a suit type thing, you think it's appropriate for work. She went there first week of her training contract. She went there wearing that. One of the ladies who work at the firm.
HR, yeah.
Pulled, not even HR, like, you know, like just one of the ladies. Just okay. pulled, like, out of care, you know, pulled her aside. And then they literally spoke to her and they were like, hey, don't come wearing this ever again to work. It's not appropriate, you know. Miguel, human rights feminist, goes to TikTok. So she's thinking she's gonna get her journey to fame starts now.
Oh my god, you did not just say that. You really want them to Norax us, bruh.
I'm sorry. She goes on her TikTok, she's like, oh my god, they judging how I wear. Did she not get a resignation, like a letter of firing the next day? They literally removed her the next day. She posted on a TikTok. She's not even famous on TikTok. But they found it, and she was removed from the job because she broke the dress code.
Do you know how sensitive of a topic feminism is right now? Have you seen?
Hey, with the girl, I love her to death.
What?
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Hey, yo, we are not Cecilia stands on this podcast. Just sit here.
It's a joke.
You on your own.
It's a joke, yo. It's a joke. Oh, I feel like Cecilia is like Candace Owens. There's certain views that I disagree with and certain views I agree with.
Candace Owens never been wrong a day in her life.
Real.
She's like the female Andrew Tate. You know what I'm saying?
Real. I love Candace. I've always, even when people hated her, I was riding Candace's bus.
But she's never been wrong. I don't care what she said. They call her anti-Semitic for calling out Jewish people. So now we can't call Bro, Candace Owens on it. Sisley, however.
Sisley, bro.
let's take a few steps back, okay? Actually, let's get on the podcast.
Yeah, I want to hear some of her views in person. I don't completely disagree with her views. I just feel like she's an she's very one-sided with her views. You know, she takes it from black and white with her views, you know? And everything isn't always black and white. I learned that from this podcast. Yeah. So, yeah.
Also,
so social...
we're going back to the topic.
Yeah.
I think also what I've regretted, because I think for people who want to be more prominent on social media or be, I think, intentional about their social media, what I've regretted is showing my personal life on social media. Mm. Oh, I've regretted that too. Oh, my goodness. And unfortunately, now it's like at a point of no return.
Now it's there.
Yeah, now it's there. But if you are in a position where you haven't done that, please don't. Because like I said, it's no longer the safest place for you to express, you know, the most delicate parts of your life or the most intimate parts of your life, because the internet will rip you to shreds. Also, you being on social media, and I don't like when people say, when people play a victim to being ripped to shreds on social media. By virtue of having a social media account, you open yourself up to scrutiny by the public, unfortunately. So we're not, like in the beginning of this episode, we're not crying and saying, no, why are you guys cooking us? We have a podcast. It's licensed to be cooked, you know? The moment we sat behind these mics, we knew we would see
so pegwa. But when we take it laying down, hell no.
Take it laying down is so nasty. Oh my God!
Y'all, your minds are so far.
Yo.
Zifer.
I told you, I think like a married woman. Take it lying down.
No, guys.
I think like a married woman. Can you blame me?
We won't. Yeah. But it's a thing of like, it is licensed to be scrutinized. Yeah.
Do you have any regrets about your social media activity?
I wanted to say two things about being on social media. The first one just slipped my mind, but okay. I remember the other one. For me, it's like my only regret is not doing certain things on social media.
Okay.
Like, guys, just because it'll give you numbers, it doesn't mean it's a good thing. Like, there's people who try to console themselves by saying there's no such thing as bad publicity. Actually, that's a lie. There is such thing as bad publicity, you know? And I feel like when you allow certain things to happen or you show certain things, you give people permission to treat you a certain way and to perceive you a certain way, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't be angry that people perceive you a certain way or treat you a certain way because you took advantage of that negative publicity, you know, chat. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come into social media and you're not a person who can withstand backlash or want to be known as for bad things, you know, don't take the easy way out. Don't take the trending, I'll trend today and then I'm up way out, because people will always remind you of the person you were before you decided to rebrand. You know, it's like Black China, you know, she's rebranding, you know, women are God now, but then she will always remember who she was. That's the sad reality about being on social media.
Yeah,
and other things slip my mind.
Do you think it's possible to keep it real on social media?
Is it possible to keep it real? No, man. No.
I think to a certain extent. About certain topics.
Yeah, no, you can keep it real about certain topics. Yeah. You can be fully, completely honest about certain topics, you know? But I think it's a sad reality that, like, we have to filter ourselves to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But also, hey, guys, with social media, ne? People love you when it benefits them. Like it's such a sad reality. Like I see it with the Ikane. Do you know Ikane situation?
That's exactly why I asked that question.
Like I see it with the Ikane situation. Like people will support her now. Like, oh, Christian Rock, Ikane, Tando, name them all these people known for bad publicity. People support them in the beginning because the people who support them look down on them. And when people look down on you, they support you because they feel like they're helping you out. Like, oh, let's lift her up. It's a savior complex that people on social media have. That's why they like to say, we made you. Savior complex, you know? So they want to feel better about themselves by giving you like a platform and like, we're lifting her up. We're giving her gifts. Like all these people that go to Big Brother or Temba and then people give them houses out after. They don't give someone who's got their shit together a house after after. They give someone who's on drugs, who's drinking, who's deadbeat dad. Because why? It's a savior complex. We're helping you. Moment you get your ish together, they will leave you high and dry because you no longer feed into their egos. Yeah. You no longer feed into them. Now they leave you. Now they're angry. Now we're canceling you. Hey, hey, hey. Now, oh, I was never riding the cane train. I always knew. Because she getting her ish together. So that's the thing with social media. So if, well, now you want to write. And, but she wrote it well and she knew. She knew what she was doing. You can't knew. She blatantly, she said that y'all are stupid. She literally told her people that. She's like, y'all are actually so dumb. Because I have to come, I come here and I play a play, and I play like I'm abused and everything like that. And I saw it work once, and I wrote it.
You lie.
And y'all gave me the money, y'all gave me the things. Now my mumu is in a good school. She calls her daughter her mumu. Mumu is in a good school. I came out of the hood. Da, 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 da. Like, she literally did a TikTok.
You lie.
And I was like, you see, if you're going to do it, be smart about it. But if you actually think that people out there care about you, they don't.
She said that?
Mm-hmm.
And she probably still has a following.
She probably...
Also, cancel culture is such a myth. It's such a farce. Because the same people we canceled this week, if they release a lip gloss, it's being sold.
Look at now, we are going to Chris Brown's concert. Ratamaya. We're going to Chris...
You're not going to Chris Brown? We are going to Chris Brown.
We're going to Chris Breezy. Well...
Chris Brown's chat is different.
Me, I'm like, as long as Rihanna forget, I'm just kidding. Yo, I'm gonna be cancelled. Oh, the internet's gonna eat me. No, I'm just kidding.
Dear editor, you know what to do with that.
No. It's a joke.
Please,
it's a
joke. He's jotting it down. He's jotting. No, he's getting the mic.
That's like a very layered chat.
Actually, the Chris Brown one?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many podcast topics coming from this one.
We're cooking,
from
guys.
From this one. Like, when is it right to reintegrate somebody into society after they've done
something, you know, something wrong. Incredibly Amen. Wrong? Amen. If whoever without sin cast the first stone, baba.
That doesn't work. Okay, let's move into our game. That doesn't work in 2024,
Real.
Unfortunately. I mean, it should work because it's scripture, but... The way that people are set up, man.
It's dark out there. Hey?
They rank the sins. You know, this one is worse than this one, which That's is not it. What we should do. But yeah. Anyway, let's move into our game. We're playing 30 seconds, and our ghost is going to describe to us what's on the card. We have 30 seconds to guess what it. He's saying. It's OG 30 seconds, but no board.
Ooh. I'm trying to find the timer. Kingy alarm. What is it called? Watch. Clock. Okay, 30 seconds. Okay, tell us when you're ready.
And go.
Yeah.
The most famous cat and mouse, yes.
Tom and Jerry.
Wolf Off.
Wall Street.
It's her turn, by the way. We're taking turns.
And then the most famous console.
Xbox. No. PlayStation.
Jesus Christ.
You know you're not helping me, my brother. You're not helping me. I still got 10 seconds.
Damn.
How many points is that?
It's chai. It's chai. It's okay. It's okay.
How many did you get?
I got three.
Three.
Is it three?
Yes,
three.
Yeah, we got PlayStation,
Wolf of Wall Street,
and Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
This is for Kylie.
Yeah.
Most famous doll?
Doll, Barbie. Did he flip the card already?
Channel 322.
322.
Yes.
322 is what? Nickelodeon? No Channel music. O. Other MTV. One?
Yes.
Okay.
The Red Devils. That's what they call them in soccer.
Oh, Manchester United.
Yes. And then, Oh, damn. Oh, I know it.
3, 2, 1.
How do you describe cleavage day? Is that
cleavage
a day?
What? Day.
You make a
yeah,
cleavage.
Yeah, what happens when women squish their boobs together?
It's a cleavage.
And?
A week day.
Yeah.
How many did you get?
She got three.
I think.
No, she got Manchester United, MTV, Barbie. Yeah, so it's three. Three. Round one is tie. It's a tie.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do three rounds because I feel like our time is well spent with the other topics.
Let's do three rounds.
Man.
What you cheat me?
See, I already did this one. Yeah. Okay.
Three, two, one.
Hey.
Ha.
Like, I think the time has already begun. We should be describing to him because
yeah, what is bro, this shit is crazy.
What's that? Describe something. I refuse to take this as my crown. I refuse. I refuse this.
Can we cut this part out?
I refuse. No, because, we're not cutting it out. Don't cut it out.
Yo, these questions are kicking ass, bro.
Let me see this card that has you so down bad. It won't reach. Oh, it did.
It did.
Oh, what is it?
You got it.
Let me see. Okay, it's a province. There's south.
North.
And then east.
West.
Put it together.
Northwest.
Exactly. So you couldn't give me northwest.
Damn.
Why am I catching smoke? Bra, Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah. You could have gotten Volkswagen Ipolo. Volkswagen.
The richest square mile in Africa.
Sandton.
The 31st of December.
New Year's Eve.
When girls wear that ring as a sign of their commitment to
purity.
I didn't even know that.
What was Jesus? A carpenter. Oh my God. Oh my God. I am so hurt.
This goes to ding us down bad. Oh, he didn't even know Jesus was a carpenter. Look crazy. At him. Look at him. Look at him.
Crazy. Crazy. Come on. Come on. Give me a proper card. Do it again.
Do it again. Let's
okay, oh, okay, let's have the second. Can you try? Do it together. Because it's bad out here. It's cold.
Okay, let's try one more.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
Do you wanna try? Do you wanna try?
Actually, no, bring us here. You know what,
Kaya? Bring the cards.
We will describe to each other.
I don't want to show on camera now. People are gonna know it's me.
You'll cut yourself out. Come.
Okay. It's still a round. I take from out, meh.
Yeah. So guys, Kaya's gonna be describing to me. Our ghost is really bad at 30 seconds. He's horrendous at it. So yeah. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, boo.
Okay, I'm starting.
Okay, holiday season where we celebrate Jesus's resurrection.
Christmas Day.
No, resurrection.
Oh,
death and resurrection.
Oh,
has a bunny.
Easter.
Yes. That cereal that takes a lot of milk.
Oh, Weet-Bix.
Yes. A rapper with a really long cap like this in SA. He's a white guy. He's a white guy or a colored guy? Yeah, he's a rapper with a really long cap.
Him.
Afrikaans rapper. Okay, you don't know him. Article.
The?
They are... No, it's fine, it's fine. It's an island on the side of Africa. Just guess.
Your time Robin. Goes.
No.
Side of... Oh, Mozambique.
No. Mozambique's not an island.
Africa. Madagascar. No, Mozambique isn't an island, shame. So you couldn't give me anything from Madagascar.
I wanted to give you the eighth wonder of the world, but I didn't know how to describe it.
Okay. I don't know how much I got there.
I also don't know. Our ghost is not even counting.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay, article.
The
East.
West.
It's a country that Bengal.
What's the West India?
Okay, no, it's fine. oh yes, the car he couldn't get.
A Volkswagen.
And then the whole car. I said it's a what?
A Volkswagen Beetle.
No, not
Volkswagen.
Beetle. My dad drives a
Polo.
Yes.
Volkswagen Polo.
Yes.
How did I know? That was 30 seconds?
Yeah.
I was like, India.
Volkswagen. I was about to get... What was the thing in the sky that appeared when
last
Jesus was
Friday
born?
Night. This was a rubbish card.
It was. Okay. It was really difficult.
It's a luxury car brand with 3 spikes as the logo. It comes in a V-Class. No, it comes in a V-Class, comes in a C-Class.
Mercedes, no.
Say the full name.
Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
It has spikes.
The story of the person who helped. It's a Bible story.
The Good Samaritan.
Yes. Our national rugby team is known as?
The Springboks.
Yes. Karate legend, not Jackie Chan, the other one.
Bruce Lee.
Yes. You got 4.
That was good.
I'm good at describing, guys.
But then what? Mercedes-Benz does not have the spikes.
It has those 3 spikes, guys.
I see Mercedes-Benz.
This is not 3 spikes, guys.
Mm-mm.
It 3 points.
Oh, you see, you said spikes.
I meant to like say this. 3 points.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Victoria
Secret.
No, the other Victoria.
Victoria Beckham.
Her husband.
David Beckham.
Yes. It's a game with numbers. It's like a blog. Sudoku. Yes. It's a beach in America. We wanna go to
Miami.
Yes. What's this? Ooh, Abel and who killed Abel?
Cain.
Abel. When you fly, you flying in there?
The sky in okay. the air.
Yes. Oh, and then yes, air. But it's an airline. Air what?
Ooh.
Air Namibia.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
When I leave the
station. Ooh, okay, two more rounds. That was so good. This is fun.
Okay.
Okay, the country we're in.
South Africa.
News reporting station.
CNN.
Yes. Your vest.
Kespa.
Yebo.
The ghost.
That holiday that we mentioned, the festive season, I mean.
It's Christmas.
No. The one with the bunny.
Easter.
And then after
Easter Sunday.
Yes. Oh, he's a superhero, green and big.
The Hulk.
You have to put an adjective there.
The Hulk?
No. He has an adjective. In between.
The big Hulk. What?
The Incredible.
Oh, the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. The big Hulk. You don't watch superhero movies.
No, man. The movie is called The Incredible Hulk.
But isn't he called The Incredible Hulk? He's not?
It's the movie that's called The Incredible Hulk.
I did not know that. I don't watch superhero movies either.
How did you get
CNN so fast, dude?
I don't know. I love Marvel. I actually watch superhero movies.
Really?
I'm such a huge fan. I've watched it in chronological order.
In what order?
Chronological order. Chronological.
Sometimes I just let you be.
Chronological order.
Yeah, because I knew you knew the thingy. You were just trolling.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Article.
The.
First letter of the alphabet.
A.
Double.
Double what?
Double the A.
Oh, the AA.
Yes. Let down your hair, Kimang. Let down your hair.
Rapunzel.
Yes. It's a aquatic thingy. It's the little ones that you keep that die so easily.
Fish.
Yes, but then the type.
Starfish.
No, it's a color.
Goldfish.
Yes. Yes. A. You remember that time when I wanted you to get to Namibia.
How are you going to think in Namibia?
The air one that we didn't get, the air Namibia. I was going to go back. Said,
its capital is...
Would you have got it if I said Norris? Norris. Would you have got
Chuck
it?
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, Chuck. Yeah.
Okay, we can move on to our long topic now.
Yeah, we can move on to our long topic.
It's going
to
be one long episode, actually, now that I think about it.
It is. I don't know where you're going to cut it. Oh, but hey, do you need to? I don't think so.
Let's move into.
Okay.
Do you want to introduce our long topic? You're going first because you always make me go first.
Okay, so guys, today's long topic is breaking stereotypes. So, yeah, we're going to be breaking stereotypes specifically with regards to black women. So we're going to be discussing common stereotypes about black women and share our personal stories that challenge these narratives. And, yeah, how does it impact our mental health?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so my stereotypes are about black women that I have.
You wrote down ones that you know personally?
Yeah,
basically
like thought of stereotypes I know personally.
Okay.
And then basically, yeah, we can go into like how they impact, how they've probably had a personal impact on me.
Okay.
So yeah, my stereotypes are black women are loud.
Okay.
Black women are emotional.
Okay.
Black women are aggressive. Violent and argumentative.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the stereotypes I have. And the reason why I chose these stereotypes is because I feel like I fit into most of these stereotypes.
Okay.
And I think it's not fair.
Okay.
You know, to categorize us as loud, argumentative, because like we're not the only people who are argumentative, you know. I think it's a personality thing. Not all black women are argumentative. It's just that your personality is very argumentative.
Yeah.
But really, who's this?
Who?
John. We were in a meeting.
Oh, hey, yo, I need money. Hold on.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Hold on, you're the guy with the money.
You're the guy with the money. Oh, anyway.
Oh, babe, not like that. Not like that. Hold on, not like that. Like, because he handles, you know.
He's our finance
friends and stuff. Not
liberties.
Because. Ah! Before.
Okay, so yeah. Sorry, guys, got distracted. So yeah, so then like I don't think it's fair because I feel like those stereotypes, it's very personality based, and I feel like it's easier for people to categorize as a black woman as that, so that when we argue for our rights and we fight for ourselves, it's like, oh, it's just another black woman being argumentative, just another black woman being loud, while it comes from a place of frustration. Yeah,
I think all stereotypes are harmful. But again, since we're zeroing in on the black women stereotypes or stereotypes against black women, there are five, right? Media tropes, black women media tropes, right? So the one that you mentioned is known as the sapphire. She's loud, she's argumentative, she's abrasive, she's rude, she's brutally honest, she's known as the sapphire in media. And the person they give as an example of a sapphire is... have you ever watched the movie with Gabrielle Union where she kind of...
Yes. Was it a movie or a series?
It's a movie. Not the other one. Not Mary Jane.
What?
There was another movie. But Gabrielle Union has been used as a sapphire in many movies. Right? Then we have the angry black woman who's just hyper-emotional. Who's always physically aggressive. And this is a stereotype that is propagated in baddies. Have you watched baddies? Baddies East, Baddies West, Baddies South. Then we have the Jezebel. So this is the hypersexualized woman who's portrayed as one who has, you know, an insatiable appetite. And she's, you know, she's sexy and she has
Megan
all these...
Megan Thee Stallion.
Exactly. We have Megan Thee Stallion. We have Cardi B. We have Nicki Minaj. It's mostly rappers that propagate this particular stereotype. And Kim.
Lil Kim. Have... Not the Kardashian.
Not... Oh, we're gonna get to that. The Kardashians. We're definitely gonna get to. We're gonna get to you guys.
She ain't a black witches. Woman.
they are witches. Anyway. So I said the sapphire, the angry, the Jezebel. Yes. Then there's the mammy, right? So the mammy is the asexual mother figure, the one who's always nurturing and caring, and you know, sets her needs aside so that she can cater to the ones around her. This one was, I think, more propagated in the early, I'm gonna say early 80s, because that's when
how men want women to be, their manners. Yes.
How men want their women to be, also because there were a lot of black, there were a lot of sitcoms that had the mammy figure who took care of the white children, the big big black women took care of the children. That was a stereotype propagated by flippin' Leon Schuster. We'll get to you, bro. You're problematic. Well, you weren't problematic then, but now that we're awake, it's a bit problematic. And then I'm forgetting the other one. There are five, but I'm forgetting the other one. And I think the one that, I have the biggest bone to pick with is the Jezebel one, right? Because it seeped into our music. It seeped into our... I feel like it plays a role in each and every one of these kind of stereotypes, because I think of Annalise Keating. I'm trying to think of the career-driven one, what the name is for the career-driven black woman, but that's a stereotype as well. The one who's always, who's the problem solver. Yes. I'm trying to think what the name is for that one.
Very successful.
Very successful, very career-driven problem solver, always wants to get things right. And we have an example of that in Annalise Keating, so How to Get Away with Murder, and Scandal also. What's her name?
Olivia Pope.
Olivia Pope. So we have those black women stereotypes.
How I know that.
Which are, you know a lot of things. You downplay how much you know. And so those are the five stereotypes that media, and I think even in our personal lives, that have been sort of presented to us of black women. That women, these black women fit into either one of these boxes. And like I said, the one I have the biggest bone to pick with is the Jezebel one, because it's seeping into our music, into our mainstream... let me say movies and series and all of these things, and it is very detrimental to the way that black women view ourselves and the way that black women are viewed by other people. Particularly the one that I think impacts the way that we view ourselves is a strong black women one, where it there sort of is a pressure to suppress emotion and just keep moving, and if you don't do that as a black woman, you're too soft. You know, even in South Africa, this is known as the Mbogoto, where it's like the media, not even the media, but I think even our communities sort of expect us to have a higher tolerance for pain and for struggle because we're black, and because we've you know exhibited this amount of strength for years, we should be able to continue moving in this manner. Mm. And I think that's detrimental because then we gaslight ourselves into keeping it moving, yeah. You know? And I think as firstborn black daughters,
that shows up
all the more because we're deputy moms and we also have to be career driven and we also have to learn how to be assertive and at the same time, you know, feel beautiful and feel sexy. And I think you spoke about this when we were talking about body dysmorphia, how for a very long time you didn't fit into the black woman stereotype and that affected how you looked at yourself. Mm. But that's a black woman stereotype that has been created by the media. This whole Jezebel, she got to have a big booty, she's got to have big breasts, she's got to have big lips stereotype.
Not
all black women are like that.
Funny enough is that when you mention these stereotypes, now what comes into my mind is that the black men and society knows how to oppress you with each of these stereotypes when it suits them.
Okay.
You know, when it suits them, they will find a way to be like, oh, you should be more strong, you should be more confident, you should be more da-da-da-da-da-da when you're trying to be in your feminine era.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to be in the a man must take care of me era, they want you to be an Annalise Keating because it doesn't suit them when you want a man to take care of you, to be a provider, because no, you must be independent, you must be this, you must be that, you know? Like, why did the women go and fight for our rights, you know, our right to vote, if we're not, you want to be a soft girl, you know, type of thing. So they propagate that stereotype when it suits them. Then when you are that strong woman, that go-getter, that goal-driven woman, it's when do you have time to build a family? You know, you should be homemaking, you know? You shouldn't be, like, there trying to climb the ladder. You're going to be dissatisfied when you're older because you're going to sit there all lonely with your cats. They make you the cat woman, you know? You're going to have cats and stuff because it doesn't suit them when you're goal-driven in that instance because you're taking them, you make them look bad in the positions that they hold because we normally tend to overachieve, you know? So that stereotype doesn't suit them. Then when now you want to be a modest girl, you're trying to be in your... I need to, like, I care about what impression I put for myself and all that stuff. Then here comes a man who goes and likes all the baddie pictures. A man who says he loves you, but goes to Instagram and likes pictures of all those baddies, all those girls with the nice bodies and stuff. And then when you don't fit the mold of that stereotype, it's thing of she's not in her feminine era. She's not in her power, you know? Mm. They see that as a form of having confidence and power, you showing your body on the internet and stuff.
Can I ask though, so like if you have a partner, right, and then he goes and likes all those baddies and whatever, is that an issue for you?
Yeah,
I think it's a massive issue.
It's a big issue
because
your mind eats through your eyes, so whatever you feed your, like, whatever you see is what you feed your mind. So if you're constantly feeding your eyes with those baddies, with the girls with the big bums, da da da, you training your mind to see that as your standard of, like, beauty, like you have desire for that. So if my man is going around, I know that's not my body type, and I don't want my man to be sexualized. I don't want a man who sexualizes women. So if you go around liking that, it just shows that you're that type of person who sexualizes women, and that's what you desire. And I'm not what you desire. So I'm not going to be comfortable with you doing that.
I think, you know what has come to my attention recently also, is that the men who like these pictures and, you know, engage in, let's say, short-term relationships with these women, have them as side chicks or whatever, or like a one-night stand, you'd find that the woman that he wants to marry is the complete opposite of these. It boggles my mind every time because he knows deep down that that is not womanhood in its essence, right? It's a caricature of womanhood. Caricature is a good word, right? A representation of what being a feminine woman looks like because she has the feminine features. When he knows deep down that femininity has very little to do with the way that a woman looks, right? It has everything to do with the way that she portrays herself, the way that she carries herself, the way that she interacts with her community, the way that she takes care of those around her. And so that's why he gravitates to the real woman, because he knows that this is but an image.
But that's, but a man.
However, it's still very offensive. Don't do that and say, oh, but I want to marry you. Yes, this is, you know, visually appealing. But the one who appeals to my goals and my dreams and my future and my success is you. Shut up.
Yeah, because that's still wrong. Because he's going to cheat. He's going to be a man who cheats on you with those women.
Yeah.
Because he's with you because of convenience. Because you, the woman, you know, a woman is a helper. You know, like, you know, it's that's what you are. So he has his helper. He has you, his helper. You know, you fit the standard and the mold of being a helper. You're an amazing helper. You're a great helper, you know. But if he's a man who desires and is always looking, and his history is those women, he desires those women. Those yeah. are the women he's always with, he's been with, he's cheated on you with. He's going to continuously go to those women because it's nice because he gets the best of both worlds. Yeah. He gets to feed his desires. Desires with those women, and he still gets you as a helper. So yeah, don't settle. Don't
I
settle.
I think men also kind of. I don't think they're aware of what that does to your partner.
Oh,
you immediately change her psyche. Yes. Right, because I remember. Ooh, I'm gonna share a personal experience now, which we haven't done in a very long time in these long topics. Right. I remember, again, being in a relationship with somebody who liked that body type. The baddie body type, big nyash, big boobs. You know what I'm saying? She wears wigs? Wigs. She always wears a frontal. She always has a face beat down. Blah, blah, blah. And those are the kind of pictures that he liked. And those are the kind of women that he engaged with, mm-hmm. right? And even at the time, I didn't realize it. But I eventually began, there was a time where I was like, okay, this is the kind of woman who, yes, cheating will change the way that you think about yourself so drastically. But there was a time I thought to myself, okay, if this is the kind of woman that you like and that you insist on being with, maybe I should fit the mold. So one day, I enter his car wearing a mini skirt. I'm dressed like a baddie. And did the man not look at me and say, what the hell are you wearing? Go and change. I was like, but this is what you like. And he was like, not on you. I'm like, he's like, I love you because you don't dress that way. I'm like, but these are the women that... I was so baffled because in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm catering to your desires. Clearly, my modesty doesn't appeal to you. My reservedness doesn't appeal to you. Mm-hmm. The way that I speak softly doesn't appeal to you. So let me give you what you... And the man, did he not reject it at first glance? Didn't even take two looks at me and he was like, go wear a longer skirt. What's happening with you? Right? Like, get your shit. And that's when it clicked like, oh. So that's not really, you know, there's a dichotomy and it's one that I will never understand. Maybe we need to have a man to come and explain. I think that raises the question, how do we combat these stereotypes? Because mm-hmm. I think we've veered off. For me, I think the one way to combat a stereotype is by showing what doesn't fit the stereotype. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So putting on a platform those who combat that stereotype. Platforming the people who combat the stereotype. So the Megan Thee Stallions and the Sexy Reds must be combated by platforming the Lauren Londons, because Lauren London's an incredible rapper. Shout out to you. The women who are talented and their talent isn't overshadowed by their nudity. Yes. Right? So platforming those people.
Yeah, and stop finding... You see that thing for fast money, quick money? You're selling your soul for fast money, quick money, because Hollywood loves the stereotype that S-E-X sells, mm-hmm. sex sells. You know, they love that stereotype a lot. Like, oh, I need to do this. I need to show my boobs, my ass, and stuff like that because sex sells. Oh, I'm combating, like, oh, why is it that male rappers can talk about ass, titties, da-da-da, but we can't talk about ass, titties, da-da-da, you know, and we're taking back our power. I don't think it's actually taking back your power when you talk about those things. I feel like what you're doing is you simply... adding on to the degradation of, that should be a word.
Degradation
of black women. You're just adding on to it, you know? And you're giving them an example, you know? Like when they're saying, hey, I want a hoe, da, da, da. You literally just said, hey, I'm the hoe that you want, you know? Stuff like that. And it's never in a good way, you know? When you're sexualized, it's like they've just limited your value to an item, you know? So in terms of that stereotype is, honestly, stop platforming those people.
Yes, I was about to say.
To simply stop platforming those people when it comes to that stereotype.
Yeah.
And then for the stereotype of like a strong black woman, like the Annalise, Olivia Pope type of women, I don't think that it's a negative stereotype when it's used to bring black women down, but there's nothing wrong in thriving for success and so on and so forth, you know. There's nothing wrong in wanting to be the cat lady. Be the cat lady, you know. If they're gonna hate, they're gonna hate. And I feel like limiting black women to these boxes is just adding on to society thinking that we can't be and do everything that we want to do for ourselves. Like, you know, like, why can't I be in a season where, in this season of my life, to set myself up so I don't have to become a Jezebel to survive.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an Annalise Keating. I'm going to be an Olivia Pope for this portion of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once I'm secure in this portion of my life, I then go into motherhood. You don't have to rush motherhood anymore. You don't have to give birth to 7 babies anymore, you know. So you can start planned parenting, you know, at an later stage. So there's nothing wrong in working hard for yourself in the now. And then in terms of like the loud, aggressive, like stereotype, you know, don't give people the opportunity to use that against you, you know. I feel like that's something I needed to learn, because I'm very like argumentative. I'm ready to come at you hard, you know. But I realized that when I do that, right, even though there's completely not okay, to a certain extent, there's nothing wrong with that. All that's doing is hurting me, because people stop listening to what I say and instead focus on how I acted. You know, what I said could have been right, but because of how I acted in it, people completely forget that.
Yeah.
So if you are that person, try, sadly, we live in a world with other people, so try...
She said, sadly, there are other occupants.
Sadly, there are other occupants. So you gotta, like, accommodate these other occupants. So you gotta, like, deliver your thought processes in a way that's calm. Even if someone is angry, calm. Because they won't see the black man screaming at you, but they will see you screaming at them.
Yeah. I'm all for deplatforming people. I think also let's bring back a little bit of shame. Hey, bring back shame. I think allowing people to be themselves, we can only do that for so long, until that is detrimental to the image of the entire populace. You know what I'm saying? And again, when you put yourself on a public platform, you're held liable for how you represent the people you come from, right? You're held liable for how you represent women, how you represent black women, how you represent Christian women, how you represent... Do you know what I'm saying? Because you are on a public platform. So... again, when somebody's doing something shameful, we must point it out as shameful. We can no longer be complacent with the way that we respond to people who have platforms and behave in a manner that is a misrepresentation of other people. If somebody's inappropriately dressed, we must... Even the last episode when I was wearing shorts, somebody DM'd me like, oh, your shorts are a bit too short, girl. And I was like, thanks, you're right. Because even though it was really hot on that day... and that was my excuse that I'm not outdoors, I'm just indoors, wada wada. Still, right? It was to an extent inappropriate. Call that out. If what I loved about that girl, the 16-year-old that was flaunting that iPhone 15, it was the backlash she received. I was like, great guys, because now we're moving in a direction where the Jezebel stereotype is being done away with. Do you know what I'm saying? Also. The TV shows that we watch, like Baddies, I used to watch Baddies too. Let's not do that, because that feeds into the angry black woman stereotype. It feeds into the all those stereotypes that Baddies feeds into. So let's make people shameful about their let's make them shameful about misrepresenting us. Sexy Red, I don't know how Sexy Red got a platform, guys. How are you naming your lip gloss gonorrhea? And then people are gonna buy them and be like,
I'm putting on some
gutter. Out.
Hey guys, America is a sick place. That's all I can say about that country. It's
do
very
we have
sick.
Any? Do we have any women? I think South African women do actually. I think South African women do an impeccable job at representing. Like, I'm talking about our idols, our moguls, doing an impeccable job at representing black women. Yes. Shout out Bonang,
Shout out Tembi Siete. Shout out Nomza Mombata. All of you guys are doing such a great job at giving young black girls in South Africa people to look up to. Thank God we don't have more Megan Thee Stallion here.
But that's the thing.
Sexy bread. Ice Spice. I cannot stand Ice Spice, bro. Every time Ice Spice is in a music video, what is she doing?
She's just shaking
something,
ass.
Something about oats and my eating my veggies.
You know, it's a thing of like, it's because there's, I don't think they would, I always say that there's a supply where there's demand. So yes, when people stop consuming those, that type of thing, like if you stop consuming things that are sexualized, then sex will no longer sell, and then there won't be a market for people to do that and act in that way.
Also,
you know?
That's a white man's agenda. It platforming is. A Jezebel black woman. It or is the woman a who.
Because if you look at it, like there's no white woman, minus the Kardashians, who do that. You know?
We were supposed to talk about them. You know what? Next week, we're going to...
Yeah, like, there's no... Like, white women, they are artists. They have all Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish. Yeah, so they have those people. And then as you come, you name Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj, Sexy Red. You know, like, our representation of black women in music is so bad.
Yeah.
But I think most issues that are detrimental to black society are white men's porn game, like most of them.
Absolutely. In our next episode, we're going to talk about something that is sort of, that I figured out is a white man's game. I had no idea that baby mama culture was cultivated by the white
man. That's what I'm saying. Like most things that are detrimental to black society were created by white men.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's why there's money in the rap industry, in all those industries, because they know that if they keep you in that way, if they keep you seeing yourself in that way, you'll
never elevate.
Yeah, you'll never elevate. You know, I always say that, like, you cannot enslave an educated mind.
Yeah.
So now you make kids love this rap culture, this this fast money culture, this buy fast cars culture. It's because they're profiting. If you look at the music industry, the people who actually make money from that industry are the white people behind it. It's not those rappers that you're listening to, you know. They make
even
money.
Even the owners of these reality shows.
Yeah, they make money of keeping you... they make money of making you act like a clown. It's literally slavery again. You are literally Sarah Bartman, but you are glamorized. You are literally a glamorized version of Sarah Bartman.
Sarah Bartman was hypersexualized, actually.
You see,
do you know that she was put on display?
Yeah, she was put on display, and they touched her and everything. That's literally what these female rappers are, like, literally glamorized version of that.
Yeah,
and also like a great representation of that whole chat is the movie They Clone Tyrone. You can watch
it. I don't know that movie.
You should check it out.
Okay, we will. Just to close out, I think I want to give us our flowers as well.
Oh.
Because I think Thought Digest is, and many other black women-owned podcasts, creates a space for those stereotypes to be destroyed. Because we, you know, we're facilitating an environment of openness, of honesty, of vulnerability, which trumps the whole strong black woman thing. Because we're able to have conversations about body dysmorphia, for goodness sake, about the detrimental mental health effects that cheating has on a woman, and how many times we've discussed trauma at length on this podcast. And so in order to combat the stereotype of strong black women, of a career-driven woman who kind of suppresses her vulnerability and emotions, we have platforms like this. So if you are a woman who feels like you cannot be vulnerable and that you avoid depending on people or needing help or even expressing the emotions that you have, hi. Welcome to Thought Digest.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know?
That's so cute. So. That needs to be a snippet. You tell me.
Welcome to Thought Digest. So shout out to us for creating that environment. Also, I think what we also do great at destroying these stereotypes is that we wear our natural hair. Thank you.
We do. We come barefaced.
We come barefaced.
Naturally.
We wear natural hair. We have
but then
braids.
We're also very versatile with like our style and our hair and everything. Because like we show that like you can be beautiful with your natural hair. You can be beautiful with a wig. You can be beautiful with and without makeup. You can be beautiful in a dress and jeans, whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
I honestly feel like we do eat in that department.
Yes,
Shout out to
us. We're showing you that you can be beautiful.
There's no baddies on this podcast, but you know what there is? strong black woman in a good way.
In a good way. I think that's a great way to close out our episode. Thank you guys for watching. Unfortunately, this week we do not have a memberships episode, yes. Particularly for health reasons.
Yeah, I know the lights, studio lights are killing me, y'all. Yes. And this episode was 1 hour 30 minutes.
So if you're a real one, if you're a member, you made it this far anyway. However, we will make it up to you guys next week. So please do join channel memberships. There are two options. The Super Thanks is a 19 rand 99, and the memberships is 149 rand 99. That's where you get to see an extra 30 minutes of us chopping it up about something different, or maybe concluding the conversation that we have on the main channel. And we have so many other things planned for you. We just finished with our logo, so
yes, we finally that have obviously a logo means that merchandise is coming. So please be on the lookout, because you know us, you know our merch is gonna eat. If you know us, you know it's gonna be scrumdly on me.
So, I love how we're not those girls, but we can be. You know, the
So you know what you gotta do. Mindful. Let's give them what they said.
So annoyed.
Let's give them. They said we speak through our noses the last time, so let's give it to them. So you know what you have to do. You have to subscribe. You have to like. You have to comment and share the video.
I know that's right.
And tell us your thoughts. And if you got this far, please give us a purr. In the comment section.
Bye, guys. See you.